Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So yeah, this is our second Sunday in the season after Pentecost. This is the growth season, hence the green that we're in. It's the season of what we call ordinary times, and trust me, there's nothing ordinary about it. But we need to resituate ourselves back into Luke's gospel because, you know, in Easter, when we had those seven Sundays in Easter, we were in John, and John's story is very different than the one that Luke tells. Remember, each author has a particular audience and a particular message that they're trying to get across. So we always take them all together. But when we're not looking at it all together, we look at that particular author. What is it that that author is focused on? So back in Lent, we heard Jesus for the first time giving his very first sermon. And I don't know if you remember, but Pastor Hubbard was here at that time in January when he had done my installation. And he said, this was the shortest sermon ever. Does anybody remember that kind of? I'm going to refresh your memory, or maybe you're going to hear it for the first time. When Jesus was in Nazareth, he went to the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath, as was the custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. So he unrolled the scroll and found the place where these words were written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus rolled up that scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him, and this is what he said to them. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus announced his ministry. Good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, those who are captive will be set free, giving sight to the blind, and free everyone who suffers. This is the God of restoration. Our story this morning is about the healing of a man who is a prisoner. He is held captive. He's possessed by a demon. And I'm going to tell you that it's not a demon. It's many demons. He identifies himself, this demon, as legion. And back in antiquity, in the times of the Roman Empire, legion meant something. It meant 3,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers. And a legion was sent in to occupy, to control, and to oppress. Think about that. What this demon is saying is that we are occupying this human being, we have taken up residence in this human being, and we have overpowered this human being. Not by good forces, but by evil forces. This man has no power over them. Now, I made this slide look nice, so we picked out a nice slide, because no one wants to see a naked crazy man on the slide with children in here, do we? So, no. But this, I want you to imagine this person coming up to Jesus with nothing on and a raving lunatic, because that's what Jesus encountered. This slide, I think, depicts more of an abstract feeling of what he looks like. Naked, roaming about, a wild man, living in isolation. He's living in the tombs in death. He's chained, and he is able to break the bonds of those chains. He is alone and in agony. And we know this face, don't we? We've seen this face. We've seen it in others, and sometimes we've seen it in ourselves when we have looked in the mirror. What does this face look like for us, and what occupies and takes up residence in our bodies? Let's name some of those demons. Maybe it's addiction, drugs, and alcohol being one of those or two of those addictions. We are in the midst of an opioid crisis. We hear it every single day. When we turn on the television, our children are up against this. As adults, we are up against this. Heroin has made a comeback like never before. Crack is here. Cocaine is now coming back. Meth. Actually, for a while, and I don't even know if this is still true, there was flaca. And they said that when someone was on flaca, the power that came over them was uncontrollable by any one human being. They had this strength, this super strength that was like that of a monster. They can't control themselves. There are other addictions, shopping, gambling, technology. We're addicted to our phones. We're addicted to social media. We're addicted to games. We're addicted to sometimes negativity. Addictions. One demon that plagues us. Here's another demon. Power. The need to prove our worth. Power is a demon. Power over someone else. The need to control the other at all costs. The need to be on top. To be able to call the shots all the time, to control and maintain. And we've seen what power can do when that demon gets a hold of somebody and they are in absolute power. Hitler, the Klan, terrorists in all forms, from children to older folks. Power is a demon. The demon, the possession of our bodies by illness. There's mental illness, bipolar, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, borderline personality disorder, schizophrenia, and many other mental illnesses that can overpower us and leave us helpless. There's the physical occupation, the physical illness, whether it be cancer or AIDS, autoimmune diseases that twist and turn our bodies, our physical bodies, into ways that we are not able to control. This demon controls and ravages people. How about the demon of greed? Greed controlling us, making us slaves of what we want. We can never get enough. We need more. We need more. We don't need. We have what we need. We want more. Things become more important than people. Money becomes more important than people. One of the phenomenal, if you want to see greed at its finest, I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of television shows out there that will show you that, but one movie that is so indicative of what Wall Street was like in the 80s and the 90s, take a look at The Wolf on Wall Street, because that is a true story. It seems so absolutely ridiculous that people would act like this, but that is what greed does to you. Changes the human being that you were actually meant to be. There are other demons. We know what our demons are. Perfectionism, the need to be right, the need to have the last word, the need to be number one, the need to fix others, codependency. You can name them. But I'm sure I've hit on one or two that might affect you or more, because trust me, I've hit on one or two or more that affect me. These are the demons that enslave and engulf and take over our bodies. We do things that we would not normally do. We say things that we would not normally say. This occupation releases the worst in us. And so you know what? We can relate to this man who's possessed by the demon, by the legion. In our gospel, the legion, the demons, know Jesus. They know he's the Son of the Most High God, and they know that Jesus has power over them, and that they, these demons, cannot control God. Yet, they resort to bargaining. They bargain with Jesus. They know that Jesus listens. And they say, listen, don't send us to the abyss. Please, send us into the pigs. So Jesus does what they ask. He sends them into the pigs. And what do the pigs do? The demons wind up taking the pigs over the edge into the water, ultimately into the abyss, where the demons are destroyed. As the demons leave this man, the man becomes whole. He's set free. All this captivity that has been invading his body is gone, and he is free. He is clothed in his right mind, and he has been restored. Now the herdsmen, can you see them back there? They're like, oh my gosh, what the heck is going on? They go running into town to tell the people what happened, and the people come running. And this is what they see. Dead pigs. And they start screaming because they see death. More importantly, it's not the pigs that they care about, the death of the pigs. It is an economic loss. You see, these pigs were being grown to sell. So for the pigs being dead, this brought an economic disaster to the owners. So when they see this in the water, what they see is a loss of money. And in today's terms, if you say 2,000 pigs is a herd, we're talking $300,000 to $500,000 gone. What does that mean for us? We don't understand pigs unless we live in Iowa or anywhere else where they're raising pigs or any other type of livestock. This is what it means for us. This, can we understand this? We can understand this. This is the stock market going off the chart, over the edge, as the pigs are going into the water. That is what that's the equivalent of. When Jesus shows up, the world is turned upside down. And the world includes the economy. It's turned upside down. Because Jesus is focused on people over profits. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't provide for what we need. It says people come first. Your needs will be met. Do you know a miracle happened right before their very eyes? Restoration. Life returned to this man. And they saw it. But their reaction had to do with what they really saw first and foremost, which was the destruction, the loss, and the death of that which they truly prized. What do we see in this story? What do we see today? Do we see the person? Do we see the people including us, who have been occupied by demons, oppressed, terrorized, now healed and in our midst? Do we see people who have been occupied and have now had a chance for freedom and healed in our nation, in our world? Restoration before our very eyes, or the potential for restoration? Or do we see, is our focus on loss, the monetary value of the restoration? Perhaps the loss of the way things were before. This story makes us face the reality of Christ's work for us and for the world. Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah. It is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What do you see? Amen.